What an amazing contrast is contained within this prayer of our Lord. He begins, "In the heavenly realm, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done." And then abruptly and bravely, he moves from the heavenly realm into the realm of quotidian human need. Give us this day our daily bread. We would not be so bold as to ask God to think about our needs if it weren't for the fact our Lord teaches us to offer this petition, ask us to ask the divine to be concerned with human affairs, with human need, to be a God that's not lofty and detached and remote and transcendent, but imminent in our lives, even concerned with our daily bread. When you think about it, we are the most intelligent species on earth, but we are also the species least equipped for life on earth. My dog Jack was born with fur to keep him warm. You and I must go to stores and buy artificial fur we call clothes. A turtle makes its way through the forest, carrying its shelter in the form of its shell. You and I must go to the store, must go and buy our shelter in the form of houses and apartments. A flamingo can stand perfectly comfortable on one leg. You and I can't. We require something to prop us up. Artificial props we call furniture. We're ill-equipped for this world. And we are, even though we are aware that we, like every other creature, needs nourishment, we are most aware that life is more than just nourishment, more than just the propagation of the species. Life has another dimension. And we are aware that we are vulnerable. And our vulnerability can distort our being. Our awareness of our weakness can misplace our priorities. The Bible is full of people who lost their way because they focused upon the needs of their stomach or the greed of their eye. Foolish Esau sold his birthright for a mess of pottage. Judas Iscariot sold his Lord for a few pieces of silver. Ananias and Sapphira sold their good name to hide a little profit on a real estate deal. A farmer ignores an invitation to come to the master's banquet table because he's so concerned to train his oxen and get on to the task of plowing his field. Our awareness of our vulnerability, our awareness for the need for daily bread, to gain daily necessities, can distort our being and cause us to lose our way. Our Lord tries to put our life in perfect balance by connecting our need for bread with our dependence upon God. Give us this day our daily bread. The great theologian Karl Barth noted that bread in the Bible stands as a symbol of basic human necessities. Bread is the very minimum even a beggar needs to live. And when we pray the petition, "Give us this day our daily bread," we are expressing our absolute dependence upon God for all of our basic needs. But when we depend upon God to meet our needs, we're freed from a life of anxiety and worry about how those needs will be met. I am convinced that this part of the prayer was formed in the crucible of the desert temptation, when the tempter came to Jesus amidst a 40-day fast and said, "Turn these stones into bread." And Jesus said, "No. We do not live by bread alone, but by every mouth that proceeds from the mouth of the Father." Jesus recognized that his sonship didn't rest in the power to turn stones into bread. It rested in his dependence upon God to provide for his every need. You and I sometimes try to live as if we could live by bread alone. If we could live in the material realm alone. Our Lord says, no. You are made to hunger for bread. You are also made to hunger for God. Those two hungers are interconnected. Our thrust for daily necessities is tied to our hunger for the dimension of the spiritual. The material and the spiritual are wedded together within us. And so our Lord teaches us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." And when we forget the spiritual in our pursuit of the material, when we think we live by our talents, our energies, our aptitudes alone, our lives lose their balance. And our Lord calls us back to balance. "Give us this day our daily bread." But bread is not just a symbol for basic necessities. It is also a symbol for God's daily but eternal providence. Think of the Hebrews wandering in the desert. They needed sustenance. They could not provide it. So our Lord provided for them manna. Manna. Every morning when they woke up and there was manna there waiting for them to pick up and eat, it was not only breakfast for their bodies, it was assurance for their souls. God provides for us. God is with us. Sure, the plagues upon the Egyptians were a sign of God's judgment. Sure, the parting of the Red Sea was a sign of God's deliverance. But when they awakened every morning to find a divinely delivered Egg McMuffin right there on the ground for them to pick up, they knew that God was with them. They knew that God had provided. The Egg McMuffin was an assurance of God's eternal providence. Now understand, when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," we are not begging. We're not asking for God that something that's not our true inheritance. We are asking God simply for a necessity. A necessity. The great church father Gregory of Nyssa noted this fact centuries ago in talking about this phrase when he said, "Look, we're not asking for luxuries, we're not asking for honors, we're not asking for awards, we're not asking for monuments, we're not asking for power and position. All we're asking for is bread, the basic necessity of life. If we were asking God for rewards and luxuries and power and position and honors, we might well be feeding our greed. We might well be feeding our desire to divorce ourselves from that which really matters, the spiritual realm and the service of God. When we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," we're asking only for God, give us the necessities of life. And we're not saying, "Lord, give me my bread so I don't have to work for it." That is the exact opposite of Jesus' intent. Because the very ability to invest our talents, to use our aptitudes, to marshal our energies, to earn our livelihood is a divinely based blessing. To be able to earn our bread, that's what we're asking for God, from God. Give us the opportunity to use our lives to earn our bread. Anyone who has ever lost a job, anyone for whom illness has deprived them of the opportunity to work, anyone who has failed doing what they love, knows what a privilege it is to earn your bread. We, like the Hebrews, need manna. We need basic necessities, and what we realize is even our ability to earn those necessities are rooted in God's grace. Give us this day our daily bread. Daily bread. Think about the Hebrews. God provided them manna, but only manna for that day. Our God asks us to cast ourselves upon God daily. When I became a Christian at age 9, made a profession of faith, I didn't suddenly receive the fullness of faith that would allow me to understand everything. No, I received understanding and faith enough for that day. In moments of crisis in my life, in moments of despondency when I prayed unto God, He didn't give me a blanket consolation that would serve me in every need down the way. He gave me strength and understanding and peace enough for that crisis, for that moment. We live by God's daily bread. The Word is a lamp unto our feet, yes, but anyone who's ever walked by a Coleman lantern knows the light only illumines just the path in front of you. So too God's Word. We just get light enough for this day. And God expects us tomorrow to cast ourselves upon Him anew. Give us this day our daily, daily bread. Give us, not me, not my bread, give us our bread. What does that mean? It means that this prayer expands our vision off our own particular need. We're not just praying that God would meet our hunger. This prayer opens our eyes to the neediness of the world. And we're praying, God, give us our daily bread. Meet not just my hunger, but the hunger of those around us. If every Sunday you and I pray these words, give us this day our daily bread, one of two things is going to happen. Either these words become stale and superficial and meaningless,
or they open our eyes to see the needs of the world. And our prayer becomes a plea, Lord, help me to work not only to meet my hunger, but the hunger of those around me, spiritual and physical. Give us this day our daily bread. May I be an instrument in feeding the hunger of others.
Now I know, even as I am offering these words of spiritual wisdom, some of you are already thinking about, what am I going to eat for dinner? You're already thinking, how can I beat the Methodist to my favorite restaurant? You know what? God knows that. God is okay with that. Because God knows that is how we are made. That's what this prayer does. Jesus begins, Our Father, may thy kingdom come, may thy will be done, may thy name be hallowed, and then joins it with, give us this day our daily bread. In so doing, God obliterates a distinction that you and I tend to make. We think that what we do in here, what we say in here, what we pray in here, what we read in here, what we sing in here, it's sacred. What we do out there, it's secular. No. No. Your sweat, your grease, your ink, your paper, your energy, your thought, everything you do to earn your daily bread is a part of a sacred enterprise. All of life lives in the dimension of the sacred. If God bid us only to invoke God's presence in lofty things, thy kingdom, thy name, how empty would the world be of God? But God knows that all of life is in the sacred dimension. All of life is a sacred enterprise. And so God is okay when our thoughts stray to the cut on our child's knee or the next assignment at work tomorrow or a dropped touchdown pass in the end zone. All of life is sacred. All of life is a sacred enterprise. And so our Lord teaches us to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. I think of two men who meet a third on the road, and they walk and they talk, and the two men are telling this third one about wondrous events that they have witnessed this week. And they chatter about these extraordinary events, and the man interacts with them but doesn't say much. He just listens. Until they reach the home of one of these men, and they enter, they invite him into the meal. But when he breaks bread, they realize they are in the presence of the Master. When you and I realize that all aspects of our daily bread come from our Lord, when you and I realize our Lord breaks bread in our presence for us daily, that is when we truly realize we are in the presence of our Master. And so we pray, give us this day our daily bread. May we pray together. Lord, we cast ourselves upon you. We thank you for the talent, the aptitude, the energy that you've given us. May we realize that each act we do in our lives to earn our bread roots in you.
May we know that every blessing we enjoy is a manifestation of your grace. And may we live our lives in conversation with your Spirit as we earn our daily bread and share it. Through our Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Even